Good evening, church. It just feels really a bit strange standing here for the third time, but God is good. I wonder if some of you, when you were young, did you ever have your parents, because I know we have like the young ones in here, if you ever had your parents go through a book with you, and then you notice animals in the book, and then probably your parents would ask you, what animal is that? And then probably you would respond, and then he would say, your parents would teach you to recognize the animal, and then thereafter mimic that animal. How many of you did that? This morning was so great because I did ask people to bark like a dog, and there were a few people who could bark like a dog, and I also asked a few to meow like a cat. There you go, wonderful. You see, in the Bible, the passage that Shannon has just read to us, Jesus is doing much the same with us, his children. And one of the reasons he does this is to support us in sharing our faith with others. So we have been looking at how to face fear throughout the month. But today we're going to look at breaking the fear of sharing our faith. Matthew 10, Jesus is telling the disciples to go out and proclaim the good news. And he gives them some tips to help them overcome any fears they might have. And a lot of those tips involve being able to act like a certain animal. He says, when you go to win people for Christ, you must be like a sheep amongst wolves. See, Jesus is saying sheep and wolves have a certain nature you need to be aware of. I grew up in Africa. I always would look at a snake. I would be like, this is evil. I thought a snake was the evilest animal you could ever found on planet Earth. I'm sure most of you also believe that, that snakes are evil, which is not true, you know. Could a good God ask you to act evil, to be like an evil animal? No, you wouldn't. Because we know that when Jesus created all things, including animals and us, he said it was good. So, a snake is a necessary creature. They have their own purpose. And Jesus says, you must be wise as a snake. But in all of this, you must be innocent as a dove. So what does it mean to behave like these animals? We're going to look at the sheep. When Jesus is saying, I'm sending you out amongst wolves, this is a frightening situation. Jesus knows that this is going to be overwhelming for you. The mission will be frightening. Your project will be frightening. It will be scary. You walk around Stafford. You see young people walking around. Can you approach them? It's going to be scary. You look at your boss and you know he needs Jesus. Can you approach him? It's going to be intimidating. People who are different from us, can you approach them? Jesus knows this is going to be intimidating. It's going to be scary for you. But then also, he says, be like a sheep. Do we have a picture? Yes, that one. He says, It's not supposed to be, you are not supposed to be intimidating you yourself. It may seem as if it's something you can't handle. Telling people about Jesus may seem like something you can't handle. But Jesus has a strategy. You have to look harmless to them. They have to think that you are food. Sheep seem harmless to wolves. What can a little sheep do to a wolf? See, we all like little lambs. We say, oh, how cute. Jesus wants you to know that when you go to people, they should not feel threatened by you. Sometimes I love going out in my I love Jesus heart. But I know sometimes when I'm reaching out to people, I put it aside. I don't want to threaten people. I don't want to intimidate people. Sheep do not offend wolves. You are not supposed to offend people with your attacking or offensive mode. Proverbs says, a brother offended is difficult to win than a city with walls. That's hard. That's difficult. Don't threaten, but look like a victim. You are not a victim. His strategy is that you look like one. They think they will overpower you. Be inviting. When wolves see sheep, they think food, like I said. Do people feel inviting when you show up? Do they like being with you? Let them think that you are a safe bet. And when they grab you, Jesus will pull them to himself. And also, as Christians, being like sheep means we are going there under the protection of Jesus. Jesus, our shepherd, he's there to protect us. And we need not to fear the wolves. Yes, we may look like food, but we are under the protection of Jesus Christ. And so we have nothing to fear. All things were created by him, including the wolves, by the way. And then Jesus says, wants us to be wise like a snake. So let us learn from the snake how to be wise then. I went in and studied snakes. I wanted to know, why would Jesus say we have to be wise like a snake? I found out some truths, which I can't share all of them, but I will share the ones that jumped out to me. Snakes don't jump into situations. They sliver from side to side and come in at an angle. They just don't come, ta-da! Salvation is here. No. I grew up in Africa. I've seen a lot of snakes, actually. But these snakes are so amazing. They would fit in at the tiniest, tiniest hole. And you wonder, how did that little snake, big snake, fit in that little hole? They have an ability to dismantle their jaws and twist their body to make themselves go through a little hole. We should be able to adapt, accommodate, and fit in any environment as Christians. Many believers can only live in church. They don't know what to do when they're outside the church. We have to be like a snake. Enter any environment. Being able to fit in and talk about any subject. It's important for us to know what's going on. Therefore, what is going on in Salford? What's going on in Manchester? What's going on in the country? What are people talking about? To have some basic knowledge, at least, it will help us to engage with the people out there. I was sharing this morning and I will share this evening as well. One Sunday morning, I didn't feel like coming to church. Not because I didn't really feel like it, but I wasn't well. I wasn't feeling too well. So I decided I'm not going to go to church. But something told me, and that was the Holy Spirit later I realized, you have to go to church. So I drove my car and parked right outside the church. Just when I was parking it, my tire hit the curb. And the whole tire was open. I was like, yes, I knew it. I shouldn't have come. I really knew it. But I walked in and I called AA. And the guy from AA came. And he said, oh, I'll take you to a garage. And the only garage that would fix your car now is in Otringham. I live towards Otringham. I was like, yeah, great. I have to go back so I can come back. And I had two kids. I have two kids, for those of you who know. The guy came in a car that would only fit two people in front. I was like, where are the kids going to sit? So I made arrangements for the kids to stay here whilst I go. And on the way to Otringham, the guy started telling me about things that is going through his life. How he's feeling so much pressure providing for his family. At first, I was like, yeah, here we go. I have so many things going on right now in my head. I'm not even going to think what you're saying. But he said so many things. So many things. And then I listened. I started listening to his story. And then I thought, he asked me, because I didn't comment anything. I was just listening. And then he said, so what were you doing outside the church anyway? Why are you standing outside the church? Why is your car out there? I said, great, this is so interesting. This is where I like. I love this. I was a church. Oh, are you a Christian? Oh, that's when I jumped in. But you know what? I talked to him about God. I talked to him about his grace of God on my life. I told him my story. I don't know when he's going to come back to church. I don't know when he's going to say yes, but I know I did a preparation for him. Snakes study their prey. Snakes never go directly to attack. Don't go straight to people with salvation message. A snake can watch his prey for 5 to 10 hours. Can you be with somebody that long before you strike, before you say, God is good? Can you? A snake studies how its prey moves to judge how it might react. Study the people who you are supposed to reach. What depresses them? Study your boss. What makes him happy? Study your lectures. When do they come singing hallelujah? Is it because Manchester United lost? Study them. No, what makes them happy? And then you catch them at the right moment when they need God. Get in at the right time. Snakes only strike when they are sure. Sometimes when you are witnessing, God says, don't pray about it. Don't pray about this thing. It's okay to just be with a person and not pray. God teaches you those things. I do remember that there's a gentleman I know. We went to Bolton. I used to go to a church in Bolton years and years ago. And we went for evangelism. I met this guy. Call him Brother Mandra. He's all right for me to use his name, by the way. And so I met him whilst we were doing evangelism. He wasn't remotely interested in anything to do with God or church or whatever, but he kept commenting on me personally. So I thought, okay, Brother Mandra, I am a Christian. And he says, I know, because you're evangelism. you're going around talking to people about God. I said, yeah. So we became friends. One day I got a call. Brother Amanda said, I know you said you're a Christian. My sister is sick. Can you come and pray for him? I said, of course I'll come. So I went in with a colleague of mine. We talked, we prayed with Brother Mandra. And then after some time, I said, but it would be nice to see you in church one of these days. He never turned up. One day, to my surprise, he walked through the door. I was super excited. I was like, that is so good. And then the following week, he came again. And you know me, I get excited when I see people coming to church. I want them to save. So one day, I didn't have anybody. I said, Brother Mandra, could you serve with me? He said, are you sure? I was like, yeah, I'm very sure. So he served with me. Coming in months and months after, I said, Brother Mandra, I want you to attend Connect Group, which I go to. He was brilliant. He came along. By this time, Brother Mandra could quote one or two verses about his life, about God's promises over his life. And then, weeks in, I said, Brother Mandra, would you like to be a Connect leader? I've been praying and thinking about this. He wasn't sure, but he said, yes. If God can choose me, if God can say, yes, I can do this, I will do it. So Brother Mandra started serving. But I left Bolton, you know. This was years and years ago. I knew what made him happy. I knew what made him sad because he was my friend before he came to Christ. I knew him. And then a few weeks ago, I was on Facebook doing what I do. I post pictures. I pause. And then I pause. And then I post pictures. And people say, oh, that's beautiful. Oh, that's nice. Randomly, I got that message. He says, Sister Lizzie, do you know Mandra Moyo is now a pastor for Newcastle? I said, wow, that's wonderful. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing this news. He is wonderful. It took a long time. It doesn't matter how long time it takes. If you meet somebody, share about God. Share about your story. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It may not necessarily be you that will change them, but you prepared the way. Another thing about snakes. Snakes can swallow a prey of any size. You know? Snakes have no fear of what size the prey is. A little snake, like I said, can grab hold of a big mice. I have seen a snake. I didn't want to put it here because I didn't want to shock you. I have seen a snake swallowing a whole big pig, dismantling its jaws and getting hold of a whole pig. It's not scared. It goes for it when it's ready. Oh, wonderful. You have to apply the principle of the snake. Don't ever say that person will not listen. Stop it. You could eat them. They are food for you. Your boss needs Jesus. Your lectures need Jesus. Your friends need Jesus. Nobody is too small or too big to want Jesus. We all need Jesus. Don't be afraid to tell anyone about Jesus. Whatever their position, height, status, nothing should stop you. And the less frightening you look, the better for you. Because they know, they don't know that you can unlock those jaws and bring them to Christ. Snakes have the ability They have the confidence in their ability to win their play. Don't doubt your ability to bring people in for Christ. Don't doubt. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus says, don't even think what you're going to say. Because that's not your job. That's not your job to think, what am I going to say, Lord? It will be given to you. Your job is to make friendship with people. And finally, the dove. We are to be like a dove in our innocence, Jesus says. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Doves are quiet and beautiful. When they show up, you won't even notice that they were there. They just land beautifully. Some of us, we are so harsh, hard, and nasty sometimes. We turn people off to God, from God. They are God's children. God needs them. Your presence as a Christian should smooth the troubled soul, should make peace for people. To the woman living with a man, Jesus comes and says to him, go and call your husband. Jesus knows that she's actually living with a man. But Jesus approaches the same way, differently, with love. He says, I know you do not have a husband. I was going to the pharmacy in Manchester. I went to pick up a prescription. I sat there. I saw a woman sobbing on a bench. She was all by herself, but she was facing the children's hospital. Tears were coming out of her cheeks. I saw she was a troubled soul. I didn't know what to do. So I had a tissue in my pocket. I went quietly. I sat there, maybe for 10 minutes. I didn't know what to say. I just sat with her. And my mouth opened. And I knew maybe I'm going to regret what I'm going to say now. But my mouth opened. I said, it must be a child. I don't know where that came from. I said, it must be a child. She said, yes. The doctors did tell me that she was going to live. But now they said that there's no hope for my daughter. She's going to die. She's crying. And I don't know what to say. I sat there with her. And then she said, I have tried all I can. I even stopped working, looking after this daughter of mine, my daughter. And it's so hard. And I said, sometimes our best may not be enough. I don't know why I said that. And she kept on crying, and I sat there. And then she says, I'm surprised you're here. I wanted with all my being to say, let us pray. Let us pray. And the Holy Spirit stopped me. He said, don't pray. I shared this morning. I said, sometimes you don't have to pray. The Holy Spirit stopped me. I was like, but God, and she needs prayer. I know I can offer that. And I stopped there. I just stood with her. And then she says, I don't know why I'm even crying to you. You just came in. I didn't notice that I was sitting with somebody. I should go back and be with my daughter. She needs me, isn't it? She needs me. I need to be with her. I need to show her that I love her. I need to fix her. Oh, God, I don't know why I'm crying. You've made me happy. Thank you, thank you. She walked away. I have no idea what was going on. Win people not with your loud speech, but with your quiet spirit. I don't know what was going on, but God knew. I just happened to be at the right time for her, or maybe the wrong time for her. I don't know. Doves don't cause conflict. Doves are present and non-frictious. The dove brings peace when it shows up. That's why probably the UN uses the symbol, the sign of the dove as a peace. I wonder if you were not saved and you wanted to be saved. Would you save yourself? Would you approach yourself and say, I am loving, I'm kind, I'm gentle? Or would you be harsh and hard? Sometimes Christians quote scriptures to people who don't even know the Bible. It can be irritating for people. Jesus was so nice that even the little children would run to him. He was so present. We are to witness and not attack or overcome people. Let people like you before you invite them to Jesus. Jesus was the friend of sinners. And everywhere he went, people gathered and liked him. When Jesus wanted to leave, guess what? The people wanted him to stay. Do people like being with you? Tell you what, if you don't think people like you, please do come along. Speak to some leaders here. We all are in this together. We are all learning. And it is a skill that can be learned. Come along. Talk to people. Don't suffer in silence. Doves are as well as the symbol of love. The innocence of a dove is to love others rather than criticize, condemn, or complain. Jesus was a friend of sinners, like I said. He went to Zacchaeus' house. We remember the story of Zacchaeus. He was the one guy that nobody loved, liked. Everybody hated Zacchaeus. So when he heard that Jesus was coming, Zacchaeus went up and hid in the tree. But Jesus, looking at Zacchaeus, he invited him down. He is a sinner. Everybody should hate him. And in that culture, and I'm sure it is the case with the context of the culture in those times now as well, I think, that when somebody invites you to the house, it is an honor. It is an honor. You're becoming one with them. But Jesus invited himself. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. I will go to your house. I will have dinner with you. What does that mean? I am making you become one with me. And yet, culture would not accept him. But Jesus, a friend of sinners. You avoid people because you know some of the people, they just curse. They curse and you can't stand their cursing around you. But Jesus says, go for those ones. Go for those ones. He became one with sinners. Can you take the most vile person out for lunch this week? Can you try it? You've tried to avoid the person. Can you try and invite them this week? Let's go for coffee. Can you approach them now like a dove? Beautiful, quiet. Invite people. You'll be surprised what God will do. So what does it mean then for us to act like all these animals in practice? One tip I would like to encourage you tonight is make friends. Make friends. Most of us go out to make converts. But Jesus made friends. People will listen to you after they become your friends. Friends can convince friends to do things. It's easier, I promise you, it's very easy to make friends than to make converts. See, we have Eden team here. They are looking to live near the community. Why? Because they want to make friends with people in the community. We have our champion, Lizzie. Bags of Hope, vulnerable women. Why? She wants to make friends with people. People that society says no to. Jesus calls his disciples, my friends. Don't try and win people. Our responsibility is to love them. They will know the Father by the way we love. That's how people get to know God. Next, I would like to encourage you to be genuinely interested in what other person wants. That's how we make friends, actually. Not by criticizing how they drink, smoke, wear pants, wear their hair. We don't win them like that. But by asking, what really do they want out of life? And I've said, invite somebody for lunch. Invite your friends, your boss. Invite him for lunch or for a coffee. But when you go there, don't criticize him. Just listen. Listen, ask them questions. What do you want out of life? They are very interesting. You will hear so much from people what they want out of life. And I also encourage people to never talk about themselves when they take people who have never stepped to church. Don't talk about yourself too much. They have stories to say. They have stories to share. Listen, listen, and listen. Remember, they are made in the image of God. God loves them too. And another tip I would like to encourage you tonight. When you meet people, give your best first impression. A smile. It will not cost you anything. People don't want to follow people with long face, sad, depressed. They don't. Look at your person sitting next to you. Look at them. Smile. Smile. It won't cost you anything to smile. Some people are going really through difficult things, difficult times in life. All they need is a smile from you. How are you today? That's all they need. The Bible says a cheerful looking brings joy to the heart. This is in the Bible. That's a smile. Smiles are never for those who wear them. Never. God has gave you a smile for other people to see. It's never for you when you smile. So we're going to smile more often this week. We're going to smile. And another tip I want to encourage you tonight. Remember names of people. The most beautiful thing that people love to hear is their name. It is beautiful. Keep calling their names. If you meet a person for the first time, at least remember their name. You become enduring to them. And God loves calling his children by the name. Abraham, Moses, Samuel, Jacob, Martha, Mary, Lizzie, Gareth, Rick. God loves calling us by our names. It makes you feel important sometimes when people call your names. When you go out there and you say, hey, Adam, and they go like, oh, she remembered my name. It's nice. I do that a lot on Welcome Team. I may not know your full story, but at least that we try and remember your name. If we can't, we ask you again, what did you say your name was? But remember names, they're very important. And another thing I would like to encourage you tonight with is ask questions, but avoid arguments. If you are to win people, avoid arguments. Jesus never argued with sinners, but only with religious people. When you win an argument, you lose a friend. This is not about argument, church. This is about love. It's not about argument. How do you stop this argument then? I was sharing this morning. See, people out there are ready. They are like wolves. They are ready to bring their arguments. They have points one after the other, one after the other. So when you go out there, they say, I don't believe there's a God. Do you know what you have to say? Okay. I don't believe Jesus was raised from the dead. I say, okay. And I also don't believe this. I say, okay. And then they say to you, so then why do you believe? Say people. I love that when they ask me questions. And then I say, I believe because it works for me. Jesus works for me. He works. How do you stop these arguments? Just say, okay. You know, Jesus, when he was sent to Herod, he was asked, are you the king? Jesus replies, says, you say so. Means, okay. Right? You can't fight someone who is not fighting with you. You can't. The best way to win an argument, the Bible says, is to avoid it. The Bible says that. Paul says in Timothy, avoid foolish arguments. Instead, ask questions. Let people explore their hearts. The best way to get a person to talk is to ask questions. No one ever asked more questions than Jesus. I think I was reading somebody said over 307 questions that Jesus asked in the Bible. I was like, wow, somebody's actually writing those points. Yes, he never assumed. Jesus never assumed on any person that he met. Jesus meeting the blind person, he says, what would you like me to do? Huh? Shouldn't you just heal? That's how we go. We go out there thinking we have the answers to the society. But guess what, church? God has already been in Salford before we even turned up. He's already been here. We are joining in with God on his purposes. God loves the people of Salford. They may not know God yet, but God loves them. His spirit was there. And we have to double listen. We listen to what God's saying. We listen to what people are saying. And we descend beautifully like doves. We come in quiet and gentle. It is. That's the power of the truth of God. And Jesus says, I said already that you have to ask questions, but there are times as well you have to be able to answer questions. Don't engage into arguments, but let people explore themselves. Give them that time. Give them opportunity. Jesus says, who do people say I am? He's asking questions. What is it that you want from me? He's asking questions. But church, above all, remember that when you share your faith with others, you're not alone. Don't be afraid. You're not alone. You're acting in partnership. The Holy Spirit will show you, inspire you to notice people that he wants to reach. The Holy Spirit brings in the presence of God, the Father. That's why we all can experience the love of God in our lives. And Bible says, as many as received him, he gave them power The power to cause changes. The power to cause changes in our households. The power to cause changes in our community, at workplace. The power to cause changes at university. As many of us believe in the power, we are able to make changes in our lives, in the lives of people that God loves outside the church. And therefore, he says, do not worry about how you're going to speak or what to say. For what you will say will be given to you at the time. Jesus says, I do what I hear. I see my Father do. And I say what I hear my Father say. We are to copy Jesus' ways. We do like he does. We say like he says it. Jesus is a master soul winner. He's sending us, commissioning us to do the same thing he did, to win people back to God. There are people that only you can reach, not me. Only you can reach. Nobody else. No one else. Nobody is like you. Nobody can smile, laugh, talk like you do. You're so unique. And God's message for certain people can only be heard from you. They cannot respond if someone else taught them. And Jesus had planned this, that you are going to reach them. Only you. There are people God had planned in your path. And you are the only person who can lead them to salvation. And he says, Son of man, I've made you a watchman. And if you do not warn the wicked man of his ways, and he dies, his blood is on you. This is not should not scare us. This should excite us to do more. So what's our plan then? We are God partners, authorized, commissioned. You're not chosen me. You have not chosen me, Jesus says, but I've chosen you, ordained you, that you should go and bring fruit and that your fruit should remain. You have been authorized by God. God sent, we say. You're not in this world, in this place of Manchester, suffered by mistake. It's not by chance. You received salvation and now you are a custodian of this divine truth. What are you going to do with it? Share the truth. Bring people. Warn people of their sins if you have to, so that God can forgive them. You see, the beauty of being a child of God is that when you have done something wrong, you say, Abba, Father, forgive me. And the Bible promises that he wipes all our sins and we are made perfect before him. What about those who don't know Jesus? Where do they go to? When they are so depressed, when they are sad, where do they go to? Should we think of these things? Nobody is too small or too old for the message of salvation. Good news is for all of us. Everyone, the Holy Spirit is in you and in me, in all of us. Let him do the talking. Let him use your mouth. Let him express the love of God to others through you. For the Son of God has come to seek and search for which that is lost. He has come looking for them. God is looking for them and he's doing it through you. And I sometimes think that maybe perhaps the church has forgotten who we are talking about here. You see, the sinner that we are talking about here is your brother, is your sister. The story of the prodigal son in the Bible, I believe God wanted to remind us that these are family. They just happen to be with the pigs. They are lost. Who is going to bring them back? And God still loves these people. He wants them back, just like he reached out for you, just like he reached out for me. He went through depth of hell so we can reconnect with him. And God is still looking. See, when you see a brother or sister drunk outside, he's your brother. Remember that. God loves that person. When you see a brother or a sister vulnerable, probably prostituting on the street, she's your sister. She's your brother. God loves that person. Love people. Love people. Amen. Amen.